So what one did you end up getting?
I got the end one.
The ginger guy?
The ginger one, yeah. Yeah.
He's good. He's a guy that likes Johnny Cash.
Well, he's all right. I remembered why I don't go there anymore, though.
Why?
Because when he's cutting the back of my hair,
right,
sort of the back left-hand side,
yeah,
he puts his fingers in my ear.
What?
He puts two fingers in, you know how you've got that ridge that isn't your ear hole?
Yeah.
It's the bit, of, you know, the outer ear hole.
Yes, yeah.
He puts his fingers in there and just sort of...
What, for leverage?
Well, he grips.
He grips?
He grips.
Is that what... So he, is this with the clippers?
No, this is with the scissors.
I used to be frightfully careful, you know, when I started. But now, great thing is to slap it on, if you can.
It's like an anchor.
It is, yeah. He's basically gripping so that... I don't know. I don't know why he does it, because he doesn't do the other side.
All right.
He only does it on the left-hand side, like he's got a sort of left-hand deficiency or something. I don't know.
It's maybe kind of like a comfort hole for him. Yeah, well, it must get...
We can use someone else's comfort hole. He doesn't have to use mine.
To get decent leverage. So you didn't go to Hardy then?
No, he's not...
Hardy the hairdresser.
Well, he's not there early in the morning.
The campest Iranian in the world.
Yes.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
Not a difficult competition.
I meant to tell you what Hardy was saying. The last time I was in, Hardy came up with a theory. He's really clever. He's really well read. And he says, what he's talking about Saddam Hussein and stuff.
Mm.
And he says, of course, you're all presuming that that's the Saddam Hussein. And we had that moment where we both
He was making out that it was a...
Well, we had that moment. We just looked in the mirror at each other and we paused and I went, what? You mean there's more than one? He says, yeah. He says, I says, what, there's more than one? He says, yeah, yeah. Well known there was always more than one Saddam Hussein. I says, well, I'd heard theories. He says, no, it's well known. I says, all right. He says, and he says, why would you be surprised? He says, Churchill. This was the bit that got me. He says, Churchill had people standing in for him. He had doubles.
Did he?
Yeah. There was a film about it. I don't know what the film was called. But Churchill had doubles so that the Nazis tried to...
That's what you need when you go into a...
That's what you need. Precisely.
Sort of existential sort of...
You get in there and you don't get talking about football. You talk about Saddam Hussein's double. That's a hairdresser.
I'm Colonel Harold Sanders, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hey, you two coming?
You go ahead, honey. I want to talk to these folks a little bit longer. Now, I said Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's only one way to cook Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's my way. We always use plump, young broilers, always fresh, never frozen chicken. It's cut in pieces, and each piece is dipped in milk and egg wash, then into seasoned flour, in which we have the 11 different spices and herbs for flavor. One more thing, folks. It's the only way that you're going to get chicken that is finger-licking good. And I'd be mighty proud to have you try Colonel Sanders' Kentucky.
So I've got tons.
I've got absolute tons. My brand new feature entitled, What Could God Have Done Better? And I was thinking about this, and I saw this week that they crossed a donkey and a zebra. And I don't know
what... It's a Z-donk.
A Z-donk.
Or a Deborah.
Or a Deborah. But I suddenly remembered a theory I had years ago that I wish the reason we don't eat zebra is because we are disappointed. Because when we see a zebra, we think, right, that meat's going to be stripy when we eat it.
Yeah, it's like Neapolitan.
Yeah, it would have been, how cool would that be when you get a zebra steak
and it's sort of
it's different
white
colours.
And then black and then white,
And I think that's one of those, so that's under my brand new feature entitled, What Could Have God Have Done Better? It could have made zebra meat stripy. What could God have done better? Zebras.
Oh, that's one thing then. The other thing I was going to say is I did have another idea for a competition.
Right.
Yeah.
In light of the great success, this is podcast number 3 now.
Call Meow.
Yeah, Call Me Al.
Was a
yeah
success.
Oh, yeah, it's huge, yeah.
What's in the Box, not so much.
No.
Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money.
From the film.
So from the Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Show Me the Money. You basically... Do you remember you used to do that competition?
Why are we doing competitions?
I don't know.
Meet George, Alexander and Louis. The newborn triplets are not only named after the royal baby, they too are practically royalty. Well, in the farming world at least.
Because it's the first time in more than 70 years that triplet calves have been born on this farm.
You remember you used to do that competition where you would drop coins on the desk?
Oh, right. It's called Three Coins in a Soup Bowl.
No, this is called Show Me the Money.
Okay.
So you just drop... Have you got a coin?
I've got coins. So hang on.
I've got coins.
I've got coins. You want three different coins?
So it would just be... it would be, show me the money!
It's Show Me the Money. On the line now is Bob. Bob, show me the money.
Hi, Ronnie.
What do you think, Bob?
Is it a two-pence?
No. Next caller.
So that'll be all right.
Right, the other thing is, stories, well, I've got... other things, Tony Blair on Radio 2 this week. And in fact, we should do a George W. Bush and what he's doing now. He had a harp operation this week.
A harp operation.
Yes, yeah, they put a harp in.
Harp in his harp.
So when he walks in a room, oh, hello.
It's like he's in a dream.
In a park in Kassel in Germany, there's a performance of a dark tale of an innocent girl being stalked by an evil stranger. There's a vicious axe murder, and the killer is in turn killed. It is, of course, Little Red Riding Hood.
Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
But no, he had a heart operation.
I really like the idea. Someone walks into a heart surgery.
How much better would that have been in a really tense situation? You know, Arab-Israeli talks, or he's about to tell the world we've gone back to war. Just before, as he walks up.
Yeah, it would have eased things.
But anyway, Tony Blair on Radio 2, he gets a show. Radio 2 is putting everybody on. You can get any kind of celebrity. We could do a thing about that.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush on QVC WMD. He sells
weapons.
Weapons.
Like that.
And that was, in a very real sense, Charles and Eddie. Would I lie to you? And I suppose the question we are all asking is, indeed, would I lie to you? And look, the short answer is, in a very real sense, no. The longer answer is, what is a lie? And that is what we as a people should explore. In a very real sense, a lie is merely a bad version of the truth, a distortion of what people actually mean. A sexed up version of what actually happened. So, in a very real sense, telling a lie is also telling what I and the members of the cabinet agree is actually the truth. And in the cold light of day, I think we should all remember that. The truth is a lie, and lies are the truth. For us, for everyone, for Britain.
Do you like being on this program?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
No.
You think I'm good looking?
Yeah.
I think you're good looking.
Yes, indeed.
Well, speaking of good looking, you got a girl?
Huh?
Do you have a girl?
Yeah, girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend?
Three of them.
Three?
So what's the George, how did the George Bush thing work then?
George W. Bush, it's QVC WMD, so he's selling them ground to air missiles or something.
Ah, right, yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, and
QVC affair.
That's it, yeah. And do it in the QVC style.
Yeah.
Charlotte Green, ex Radio 4,
mm-hmm.
She's going to be reading the classified football.
I know,
results.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But they must have done auditions for that.
Do you think?
Oh, they would have.
So I thought they were looking for a gig for her.
No, well, no, I don't know. No, but they must have got other. So I was thinking Nana Moon's.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for the classified results with Nana Moon.
It's 5-4, 4-5-5. Judith, 1. Sheila, 4. She sold more cakes at the cake sale this week. My postman, 0. The dog, 1. Thanks, Nesha. Checkout girl, 1. Me, 2. I had a coupon.
Let's spend a few minutes reflecting on the importance of birds now. They're important to us in so many ways.
Great thing is to slap it on, if you can.
Hi, and you're with me, George Bush, on WMDQVC. I'm here till 7, and I've got some great offers for you today. Offer a vacation. Look at this fantastic multi-purpose rocket launcher. It can fire in the sky, can fire in the ground, can fire anywhere. I've only got 50, so you need to get on the line quick. And I'm giving a discount to Middle Eastern countries who want to get in on the deal on this one. Dealification. Dealify with Middle Easternification. They're growing fast, so they will be discounted right at the end. The last 10 will go half price. So all get in quick.
I was listening to Radio 4 the other day.
Well done.
Well, I feel like I have to.
You have to. It's, yeah. it's like written into the Constitution.
Yeah. Someone, you have to listen to Radio 4 at least
once a week. Once a week, yeah.
But no, I was listening at, I was about 7, I think. It was about 20 past 7. And they had an item about how birds shape the human experience.
Right.
So we all sort of live our life interacting with birds. Some of us are scared of birds, but are we really scared of birds? Who knows? Because they shape our lives. And genuinely, Evan Davis did this pre-record with this guy who's written a book about why birds are so important to us.
WCRL, Great Hits Radio.
Let's spend a few minutes reflecting on the importance of birds now. They're important to us in so many ways. Not least, we eat them in vast quantities, of course, and their eggs, but they've also inspired art and music. Well, a new book collates some of the connections between people and birds in a lot of different dimensions of life. Some of those connections and anecdotes, in fact, suggested by Today programme listeners. The book is by Mark Cocker, who told me how he'd tried to come up with something different from the countless bird books already on our shelves.
Well, most books about birds are obviously about their biology and behaviour, etc. But this one attempts to track the ways in which birds and people have interacted. And that really can be summarised by an expression by a French anthropologist who said that birds were good to eat, but good to think also.
But my thought was, it was quite a highfalutin idea.
Yeah.
And I think it adds a bit of gravity to a show to have something that doesn't really make sense but sounds
quite... We definitely need the gravitas.
I wondered if we could just... I haven't rung anyone about this, but I wondered if we could just make up a sort of interview.
Without...
You sort of interview someone.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
About something...
With gravity... Yeah. But more intellectual.
Yeah.
Okay. How will that go? What topic are we going to do?
I don't know, but what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. The meaning of life?
Let's talk about the meaning of life then.
What, as an interview?
Yeah, and I'll play Professor Ernest...
Professor Plum.
Ernest Fagan.
Professor Ernest Fagan.
Ernest Fagan. So, that's what... Yeah? Do you want to do that?
You're listening to me, Ambassador to the World, Tony Blair, on Radio 2... Time now
in a very real sense, for another song. The next one is dedicated to all my friends in the Middle East who love me like one of their own. Edwin Starr, War, what is it good for? And that is a question which we should all ask ourselves, as a nation, as good people, and as citizens of Earth. And in a very real sense, war is, well, it's good for arms sales. Toppling regimes that we don't like, shout out to Saddam. It keeps news channels going. It inspires protest. It employs spin doctors. It creates great legacies for great leaders. And let's not forget, it keeps us in with the Americans. It's war.
Last night on Newsnight,
right,
there's a woman on from the Ugly Animals Preservation Society. Seriously? Seriously? There was. She was. It was because of the panda thing.
Mm.
The
panda's not an ugly animal.
No, but she was saying it's getting all the attention. And she was getting the real hump. You know, there's a sloth in a Mexican lake somewhere that's got, it's nearly gone. And she says, you know, the panda, oh, who cares about the panda? So, you know, I care about the panda.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the panda was inseminated by two pandas. It's like they must have mixed the sperm. There's a job when you're up in the morning.
So let's do this. Let's do this interview then.
Okay. If you ever need a champ, here I am. If you ever in a shop, grab my.
On the line now is Professor Ernest Fagan. Professor, if there is life after death, what shape will it be?
I think it will be a parallelogram.
Why would you say parallelogram and not a rhombus or, for that matter, a rectangle?
Because life is not a rectangle or a rhombus, it is a parallelogram.
Professor Ernest Fagan.
I heard, you know the thing I've been doing of putting people in situations?
Right, yes.
And I put George Osborne into EastEnders and I put Vanilla Ice on Five Live.
Five Live, yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets
gross.
The people going.
This week, I'd quite like to put George from Rainbow onto Five Live Breakfast.
Right.
I'll figure it out. It will go quite well, I think.
Up above the streets and houses, rainbow climbing high. Everyone can see it smiling over the sky. Paint the whole world with a rainbow.
Now, let's see. Ooh, electricity bill. I better pay that. And the gas bill. Better check my bank statements, I suppose. Let's see. Oh, dear. I haven't got as much money in the bank as I thought I had.
Well, Jeffy, what are you doing, Jeffy? Oh, what a mess.
In a minute, George. I'm busy at the moment.
Yeah, I can see you are. Oh, dear.
Thanks, George. It's 7:38, Five Live Breakfast.
I've got a sketch about Savaloy and the police, a police interrogation about Savaloy. Right, let's go through it one more time.
I've told you how it is.
Aye, now you're going to tell me the truth.
I've said, I placed the order at Frankie's. It must have been him that got it wrong.
I've got five witnesses in the queue who said you ordered six cod and chips, three sausage and chips, not one mention my Savaloy's. You're not telling me the truth.
I am.
The truth, I want it now.
All right. It was wet and I was running and I wanted to get the food quick and get back quick before Crime Watch started. And then I dropped the paper with the order on it, right in the puddle with the The paper was soaking. I couldn't read the writing, see?
Why didn't you phone and ask the desk sergeant?
I don't know. Maybe I was trying to prove myself. I knew if I messed up, you'd have me back doing parking tickets. I'm sorry.
It's bad enough for you forget my savoy. But you didn't even get the curry sauce.
I know. But please, just give me another chance. Please, I'll get it right.
Too late for that, son. I can't trust you. Take him away.
Please, I'm begging.
Take him away. Get me a Savaloy.
Let's really nail the start this week. I think we nailed it last week, did we?
So the bit with me coming on and
yeah.
I think you're right.
Need to come in quicker and set your stall out.
Set my stall out. Hello and welcome to Limited Edition with me, Ronnie Barber.